expect to come in to meet the goals of this fund drive. It's problematic and very, I think, there are some red flags out there right now.
Well, the fulfillment rate, they historically has been about 75%. It's got to be higher than 75. 80-85 would be really good. They did achieve it last fall. They went up to 80-85. Mm-hmm. But the answer to that question around how much more room is there available for that fulfillment rate to increase from its current? Well, the way I understand it and the way it sort of worked last year was fulfillment, as you know, is a function of getting those premiums out the door so mm-hmm. that those folks who will redeem. A 10% difference in fulfillment at WBAI, that is, the difference between an 85% fulfillment rate and a 75% fulfillment rate, is $100,000.
Right.
And that was the problem last year. The fulfillment rate was huge. So if you go, you know, from that 68 to 75 or 65 to 75, there's your $60,000 to $70,000.
Yep.
63 is.
Yeah. 60.
Right. Well, you don't ship the premium until the person pays
right.
the pledge.
Right. Yeah, well, the only exception would be with the EFT, and then it's based on a certain amount that you have paid toward the EFT. But Carol is absolutely right. You don't
invoice
it except with EFTs until you've paid the pledge.
You have to invoice them, too. And you
right.
have to send reminders.
Last year, as I recall, a number of the LSB members went in and helped raise the fulfillment rate by getting on the phone and just calling people. Is that
yes.
under consideration again?
Yes, that is absolutely correct. And that was how it was done. And that has to happen again
mm-hmm.
For this drive. Remember, that's one of the things that's part of that planning we're talking about.
Right.
You have to have the volunteers in there. You have to call people sometimes to remind them. Sometimes you have to send them written notices, et cetera. So there's effort in that fulfillment rate, and that effort has to be done. They did not do that very well in that drive that went bad.
I recall that you guys were saying that the development director was in New York like last month or so. You guys were working out some things like fulfillment rates. So are you guys think you're going to see some fruit of that of that planning last month?
You mean Phil coming
yeah.
out?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, Phil's great. Yeah. You know, he is now working closely around that, and that's our goal, get that fulfillment rate up. It's $100,000 on the table between a 65 and a 75.
Uh-huh.
Donna, was that you that just said something?
That was LaVarne.
Yeah, I was just
I have another question, but LaVarne finish.
Okay, I was just trying to, you were saying that, so you guys do have some things in place where you think that you'll be able to drive that fulfillment rate up.
Got to give it a shot, you know.
Oh, in addition to the LSB members coming in, just calling.
Yes. We have to have two or three strategies.
Okay. Can you say what those are? Because I think that probably all of us need to can use those.
Some of it is, you know, you have to have that phone problem. You have to make sure your phones don't go down in the middle of a drive.
Right.
You have to, you have to have a backup plan in case they do.
Uh-huh.
You have to have those volunteers in place and well scripted.
Uh-huh.
You have to do the reminder.
Pardon me.
And do all the rest of that sort of stuff. But I think also it's a question of, you know, premiums. That too many premiums, are the premiums expensive? You know, that impacts fulfillment rates.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are, you know, a couple of other issues around, you know, getting the data entered, getting
mm-hmm.
the data processed. And
mm-hmm.
people get pulled out to do 10 or 12 hours answering the phones. Maybe they don't come back and have the same workload that they can normally handle. So I think adequate support, adequate personnel, clear scripts, and just making sure you give people what you promised to give them.
Mm-hmm. This is LaVarne. I just want to make one point that our development director, Lim Lim, has a card going where she's, like, asking people that, you know, end of year, like, you know, remember your pledge or whatever
yes.
to KPFA. So that's just, I'm just throwing it out to the
yes.
stations. I don't know if their development directors are doing the same thing, but it's excellent.
Yes, that's a good point, LaVarne, yeah.
Can I chime in? This is Warren.
Go ahead, Warren.
Okay, I was just listening to this, and I'm just feeling that it seems like we have all our eggs in one basket, and that is the pledge drive. Why aren't there other initiatives considered for raising funds?
Lonnie, do you want to...
You know the thing? they have. They raised, I don't know. They've got an internet, they had an internet strategy, which was to put the premiums on their internet site, have listeners be able to go to that site and buy those premiums direct. They raised $60,000 doing that last year. They had a mailing strategy. So they haven't put all their eggs in one basket, but, and then they raised $50,000 doing mail drops and membership drives too, with using national magazines. I think they used The Nation or something.
I mean, have there been any talk among all the stations about other type of fundraisers?
I can tell you what works.
Can I answer? Yes, this is Lauren. Yeah, we're all like working really hard on that in terms of and some of the things that we're doing like that are outside of listener fund drives like might not really pay off in terms of income that you can see directly, but it's like it results in advertising. Like we had
right,
this event at.
Yeah.
At the museum, at the Legion of Honor in San Francisco. So, and then we had the little thing, which I did, which was the baseball game. So it had KPFA on the A's game back in September. So there are a number of things that we're doing, I think, that are that we need to continue to do that are paving the way that you know won't directly see it in terms of the event, but you may actually see the result in the fund drive.
And this is Carol. We also did at KPFA. We did our first annual Peace Awards dinner, and
yes,
got the. I was notified yesterday that we met our target goal
yes.
of getting pledges from major donors of $100,000 out of that. So there are other strategies, and I know they're pursuing those kinds of fundraising events at WBAI too.
They are.
I know they are, and they put a lot of effort into it last year, and they're doing it this year, but. One thing we do, I think, need to recognize, and I sent around an article a couple, 3 or 4 months ago about fundraising and public radio, and the research, marketing research and those kinds of things do indicate that we can't really get away from relying in large measure on the on-air fund drives. They are very effective. They reach more people and at less cost than any other funding mechanism. So,
well, my little caveat was carnivals.
Mm-hmm. Right. We
okay.
do a holiday crafts fair here at KPFA, too, and BAI has a theater ticket thing that they do, and but still, the fund drives are bread and butter and meat and potatoes.
And it involves staff, listeners, and your volunteers and board. So it's really a good team-building effort, too, as long as it's short and sweet.
But
Lonnie,
I have one other question, Lonnie.
Yeah.
That I meant to ask the first time out and overlooked it. Maybe you can help me. I have the... October 31st balance sheet in my hand. And there are some numbers on it that I just would like to make sure that I understand. Under current liabilities, we have deferred grant income of $204,410.
Yeah.
Is that the CPB money?
Yes, it is.
So it's money that they've actually received, but have not completed the work that the grant is supposed to pay for? Is that what deferred grant means?
Yes.
So it means they have the money in the bank, and that's included in the $105,900 they have in the bank.
And this is how we take the free speech radio news stuff and it sits in the budgets of the stations?
Yes.
That's part of it there, too.
Right.
So
some of it's sitting up there in the national office. We
right.
need to pay for national programming.
That's right.
And some that's about 27%?
25 this year.
25 this year. Okay, so that essentially the deferred grant income is the CPB money.
CPB money, yeah.
Okay, and then my other question is... it's receivable. You're showing $62,000 in receivables at WBAI. What does that represent?
You're talking about the October?
Month ending October, current assets receivables of $62,000.
I can go to, I have to go to detail.
I mean, no, I don't need the detail. I just mean in general, what sort of things are included in that usually or customarily?
That customarily, it might be any monies that are deposit. Let me see, what am I thinking about? Receivables. We've been carrying it so long. It might be monies that are owed WBAI.
Mm-hmm.
From grants that cross the fiscal.
Mm-hmm.
It might be any monies or deposits that are owed WBAI on anything they made a deposit upon.
Such as their lease?
Yeah, something like that. I'd have to go to detail, but it's like deposits they made that is an asset that, you know, it's like a prepaid, except we sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got prepaid expenses there too of $61,000.
Some of those receivables we will separate between prepaids and the receivables. I can look for that detail, but it's probably rather old.
Real money that they could cash in to pay their bills.
In their case, probably not.
Right. So,
can I ask a question on that receivable item?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Jump in. Do we carry over uncollected pledges from prior fund drives?
Part of what's in there too.
Okay.
Is this Baruti?
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, this is Baruti. I just wanted to...
As you'll have pledges from a prior drive still.
Right. Spring or something like that, summer drive or something.
Yeah, you can still have carry over some of those
receivables. Right.
How much do you do that? Because you have to estimate that you're never going to get collect 100% of the drive pledge. Do you figure 75% and carry that as receivable until you collect it all?
Well, you've got some people that are paying, monthly... You know, deductions from their credit card,
right?
You know, monthly, so that's a receivable,
right? Yeah.
So,
but do you have a rule of thumb that you put in your receivable?
Wait a second. That shouldn't be a receivable because that should just trigger automatically and be in there, right?
Well, if you when you cross the fiscal, you've got some holdover from the previous fiscal. You're crossing fiscals in October, and when we do the audit, remember this is. We'll periodize that has put the receivables in their correct period. That's part of what these auditors do.
This is Lauren. Let me just ask a question again. I'm trying to clarify. So on the fund drive, so you show the fulfillment rate of the fund drive as a receivable. Is that correct? The fulfilled pledges as a receivable. Are they expected fulfilled pledges as a receivable?
Well, what happens is that the auditors literally will take the MEMSIS data, and they will come up with look at historical fulfillment rate, and let's say 75% for WBAI, and then they will book it and periodize it, which is to say, when you cross that fiscal, some of those pledges may relate to the prior fiscal, some of them may be October pledges. So
it sounds like the answer to LeBron's question is that she's correct.
You would go with an assumption around whatever the historical fulfillment rate.
And you age it. Is that correct? Or do you an age report?
And you'd age it that way.
And you have that from the auditors?
I don't have it yet, but that's what they're doing.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's what you will get from the auditors.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Lonnie, I want to come back to something I asked a little earlier, which is. We had said that you had told us that one of the problems with going the route of staff cuts was that it incurred severance obligations and other expenses. So I want to come back to the question of whether, when and if those things trigger, is that going to create additional expenses that need to be borne by the reserves that are distributed around the network? In other words, is it more than just meeting whatever their shortfall is if we have to take steps to cut expenses? Is there a whole another chunk of money that's going to be required? And if so, where's that coming from?
Well, we looked at it and we costed it out in terms of if you were to do mass layoffs, let's just take an extreme example, because certainly we would not have that as a first choice or a goal, that is half the staff. Or what we call keeping just core staff. How much would that cost in terms of severance, in terms of a paid vacation, in terms of any benefits, pension payouts? And how would we pay for it? The answer that we came up with was that it would could cost up to $100,000, but it, of course, not something that we could pay out right away. We pay it out over a series of, say, 5 or 6 months. Our plan was the 5-month payout, and looking at that to see what was affordable. So the conclusion we came to is if you do it, you have to do it in a phased way, in an affordable way, because the union contracts have clauses in them that make layoffs cost. That's how unions do negotiations.
Okay, but you just gave us a scenario, half layoffs. It doesn't sound like we're anywhere close to, I mean, a $60,000 deficit, even if it comes up to a $200,000 deficit after, or let's say $150,000 deficit, that's still, you know, I mean, that's, what, 3 salaries plus benefits, or maybe 4? That's not half. The question still is, what kind of overhead on any, you've got a contingency plan in place. More or less, you have the outlines of what's going to need to happen. Yeah. Is there an overhead cost to the contingency plan that you have in place? And if, which I think, incidentally, we should all get to see. I mean, that should be distributed to the committee. But is there an overhead cost to it? If so, how much is it, and who bears it? Where is it borne?
Well, you know, in the cash flow statement that I think if Rudy has it, I can send it out to everybody else too, there are some contingency funds in that cash flow statement, which we call reserves. So they are part of each month's cash flow estimates.
But those are reserves from other units, not from WBAI right now is not carrying reserves. Am I correct?
No, I'm saying that in the, and if you look at Indra's cash flow statement, she does have reserve cash that she keeps out of cash flow.
I see. Okay.
She does. She does do it. Wising up. And the other, so that reserve, which isn't a whole lot, but it's there. The other part of it is that if the decision were to be made, I'm hearing the question to be, where is the reserve funds going to come from? Are we going to have National pay for it, or will it be come from other stations? From the figures we did, no, they actually could. If they did it in a phased-out way, they could afford to do layoffs because the monthly amounts, the savings, would pay off the severances if the severances were spread out over 5 months. How much per month? $32,000. That is to say that if there were phased layoffs where the obligation was $32,000 for vacation severance and the rest of it, this could reduce it about that much to pay it off over those 5 months.
Great, thank you. Is there anything else? Because I think now we need to get into the what are our next steps as a committee phase of it. Is there anything else before we go there?
Yeah,
I should
Lonnie,
tell you, there's 2 minutes until 2 o'clock.
Okay, so that means at that point I take over as secretary, Donna?
Yes, that would be good.
Okay. That's what I wanted to be sure.
You've mentioned a couple of times Indra's cash flow projections. Could you send those to the committee?
Yeah, be happy to.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Actually, Donna, if you could take that as a note that'll be done, I'd appreciate it. I'll get on it shortly.
What Carol just said?
Yeah.
Bonnie just said he would send us the Indra's recent WBAI cash flow projection.
Well, I was hopeful that Baruti and Indra could sit down over it. You know.
Well, in its current draft form, it would be very helpful for us to just have it, knowing that it's draft.
If it would, Baruti, is that something that you could get and send us to save Lonnie the work?
Do you have it yet? Are you near a computer?
Yes.
I want to see if it got to you.
Hold on 1 second. Yes, I did receive it.
Oh, you could forward. Oh, maybe that's right. You don't have all of the email addresses, do you?
He can just
send it to
the National Finance Committee.
Oh, yeah, okay, fine.
Right, okay, that's not a problem.
And the other, the thing, as long as we're talking about things we'd like to get, is the contingency plan in a single form? I mean, does it exist in a Word file, some associated documents that you could send us to look at?
Yeah, but I'd like to meet on it special, you know what I mean, because it's named.
To be able to explain it, or... I mean, I don't care if you black out you know, names of persons or things like that. I just want to know what outlines of it are.
Now, maybe we can, you remember the period that we're going to have another look is barely 3 weeks away, Dave, so it's not a long second, third week in January.
Yeah.
So it's not...
Well, I guess what I'd like is when we get take another look, what would be, and this brings me to the other point, which is we'd really like to get the financials through November so we can look at that and actually look at the numbers in each budget category, look at the variances, and then if we could get the contingency plan, copy of that at the same time so that when we revisit it all, we can really go down step by step and get a grip on what's happening. But is that going to be doable?
Well, you know, if you take that January 20th date, right, the December financials would not be ready until that.
No, I know that. November is what I'm looking for.
So you get October, November, that's possible, yes.
Okay,
well, is there anything else? I mean, basically what I'm hearing is we have some red flags. They have moved to create a contingency plan. I didn't hear anything from Lonnie that said that it's going to trigger money having to get pulled out of other places in the network immediately, necessarily. Is there anything else that people feel we need to do on this call? Do we need, for example, to issue a brief statement to the PNB about the status of things? What do people want to do?
Well, the PNB did ask us to review the status of WBAI. You know, when at the October board meeting when we approved the BAI budget, we did approve it contingent upon looking at it by now and seeing if they were on target or not, and because there was a great deal of concern. And based on the oral reports we have, but we don't have actual numbers that we can look at, it looks like they're close to but not quite on target in listener support, and there may be reasons for that, such as data entry problems that we don't know for sure. And they're using CPB money that they were not budgeted to use. So I don't know if we want to send that as a report to the national board or not, or if we want to just wait. But we were given the task of reviewing and reporting back.
I think it's important that we have a note to the PNB, and I think, Lonnie, if you're able to do that, it would be great if you could do that so that it properly represents what you think is the position. I do think the board does need to know it, because if the board's going to have to, if there are going to be a number of adjustments, then I think that has to go through an approval process, does it not? And the board should, I don't want the new PNB to sit down in January and suddenly, you know, find out that it has to deal with a number of things that there was no advance notice from us of. We know that there are some things that people should be aware of. What do you think of that, Lonnie?
My suggestion would be I'm working on the year-end report, which is reviewing the entire fiscal, you know, and my feeling would be to incorporate, you know, something on WBI as a part of that document.
I understand that, but as Carol said, we were specifically charged with looking at this, and I think that we need to make, as a committee, a specific report to the PMB. We could, you know, hold off on that, but I think it would be a better idea just a short, you know, five-line thing that says, here's where we stand, we're approximately this much shy, a contingency plan has been developed, indications are that it will not, that any required severance obligations should not impact other units, at least as far as we can tell right now. Some CPB money has been spent to cover the shortfall. We're going to re-review it. That's basically all it needs to say. Five Lawrence.
Yeah, this is Lavarne. I agree with Dave that, since that was the request, and we have spent like the last hour and a half discussing this, and we've got some information, so I think we need to definitely share that information with the full PNB.
Lonnie, would you be willing to just write a draft of a few lines like that so it's consistent with what you understand, and then maybe we could have a motion that we will send around the committee, make adjustments as necessary, and then send it to the board?
Yeah, sure. We're talking bullet points, right?
5 points, you know. What's the position relative to what was budgeted?
Okay, could we identify those 5 points in the draft minutes so that we're all on the same page?
Sure. Sure. I correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I'll state them, and then if people want to adjust or you know, put in whatever they have, fine. The first point is compared to budgeted listener support, we're presently on the order of $70,000, between $70,000 and $100,000 behind. Number two, Lonnie and Dan have met with the people in BAI and have a contingency plan in place for responding to, or have a contingency plan in development, whatever you want to say about it, for cutting costs in the event that income does not meet projection. Three, that it is not expected that implementation of that plan will impact other units. Four, if indeed that is the case, that's what we're told. We should emphasize that on a cursory look, there's no commitments is what we believe to be the case. Four, CPV funds received in October have been used to meet the shortfall relative to expected income. And what was the fifth point? Oh, it's going to be, it will be revisited that the implementation of the contingency plan will be looked at after, and you have to finish that sentence for me.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Is there anything else in there that people think needs to be added or subtracted or altered?
Let me make a comment. On the CPB funds, Lonnie, because it's a grant, is it earmarked to very specific tasks that must be done? For example, after the year over, will they make you write a report that tells specifically how the CPB funds were spent, or are they left to your discretion to spend them as you believe is best?
Well, you broke up a little bit, but what I heard was...
Basically, I wanted to know, especially since it's a grant, usually they have requirements.
Oh, yeah, you mean the restrictions on that grant.
Yeah.
No, actually, CPB monies are for national programming. That is a major proviso. They don't generally, and certainly I don't generate them out of this office, ask for specific reports on what programs you use the funds for. They do have certain restrictions, but none of them are the typical restrictions you see in a grant. They're from a foundation, right? There's no product that they sort of want you to produce. So it's a general grant, and it's meant to be a general support grant, and that's how they've couched for the purposes of national programming.
May I clarify, Lonnie, is it that 25% is for national programming
right,
and 75% is for general operating expenses?
Well, the way they do it is they want the budgets for national programming to sit in the station budgets, which is why you see Free Speech Radio News as a budget item.
Right.
And
so
even though we pay it out of national, the CPB regs require, they don't care where you pay it from, but they want it in the station's budgets.
Right, but the CPB money 75% of it is for general operating expenses with no restrictions upon it. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, 75% is for, I think, national programming. That's
no, I think it's the other way around. It's a small percentage. It's like 25% for national programming.
That's what I believe.
Well, maybe I'm wrong, but the way it actually works out here is we retain the 25% to use it to pay the bills for Free Speech Radio News.
Right. You guys keep the 25%, and it's budgeted to go for out of the station budget.
Yeah, well, maybe you're right, Carol. Maybe you're right.
And 75% is for general operations. There's no other restrictions on the other 75%.
Yeah, none that I'm aware of that really...
Right. They're actually called unrestricted grants.
Yeah, okay. So...
Go ahead.
In the bullet points, you might want to also insert that how much of their CPB money they received for general use, not for national programming, and how much they were budgeted to spend over this period of time. Can you do that? Is that too difficult? I believe you say, if I'm looking at the October report, it's about $190,000 in cash that went to the station.
$180,000 went to WCAI. That is their full allotment.
Uh-huh. And they were budgeted for October, November, and December to spend about $120,000. So they've got about $60,000 more in CPB money than they were budgeted. And so they've used their January and money or something.
Yeah.
February money.
So it's sort of, you see how that works out.
I mean, essentially what I'm looking at is the cash flow problem at BAI. We need to understand it, and how we're going to finesse it or what actions will be taken if we're not able to finesse it. And one way they have finessed it is to use in advance CPB money that was budgeted to be spent in later months.
Well, I don't know if I'd characterize it that way. What I'd say is that they use the CPB money to bridge a cash flow shortfall.
Right.
I think Dave's point was the correct one to make. Is that cash flow shortfall temporary or is it structural?
Mm-hmm.
At this point, we've been operating on the assumption that it's indeed structural, and we have to have a look at it in January, February to see if expenses can be reduced. Now, what we did last year, WBS expense structure was $300,000 a month, $310,000 a month.
Right.
We've driven that down to somewhere between $260,000 and $280,000 a month.
Wow.
Right. That's
great.
What we did when we approved the reduced budget in September.
Yeah, so let's not lose sight of the fact that reduced expenses is occurring. Whether they can be maintained is another issue, but that's what we want to monitor carefully, too.
Lonnie, one thing in the long run we really got to look at is the rent they pay, and we really, I think, need to start planning on, if they have to go to other facilities, what kind of costs is that going to incur? I really think that over the next year, that needs to be a priority for this committee to look at that, because my understanding is they're paying a lot of money in rent.
$500,000.
Yeah, see, that's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, if there's one thing we can do that would place WBI on a more solid financial footing is get them out of that building. The rub is that it takes, a couple $100,000 to move, which is free cash they can never seem to find.
Well, that's a network commitment facilities for our stations. Seems to me that's a network level commitment.
Oh, that would be great to do. I mean, if we could do something on a network level, for WBI, we've done it for transmitters, to get them out of that building and find a way to pay for those moving costs, we would have that station on a much more solid footing.
Now, I think maybe, I don't know how people feel about it, but maybe that, what do people think about including as a bullet point the notion that rent should be looked at and facilities should be looked at during the next year by the National Finance Committee as a key thing?
Well, if we're going to do that, we should be looking at PFW, too, which is also paying exorbitant rent, and their lease expires, I believe, the end of next year sometime.
Well, maybe what we need to do that is...
Donna, I thought the single item for this meeting was WBAI.
I know, but I'm just talking in the generality of... I agree that WBAI's rent is a huge problem, and it's one that needs to be solved. And the Finance Committee should be looking at ways to solve it, including local capital campaigns, such as the other stations did when they purchased buildings or made expensive moves.
The question was, did you want to add as a bullet point, revisiting or looking at a new place for WBAI?
This is LaVarn. Can I just make one point?
Before you do, LaVarn, I heard Barudi in the background, or maybe that was Warren.
Okay.
Oh, no, I was just listening. But what I was going to say was that, is that confirmed that that's a national network commitment, or that's something that's under, we would have to put up for discussion?
I think it's definitely something we would have to really discuss very carefully, because there are restrictions on fundraising, meeting the legitimate expectations of the donors. And so if we wanted to launch a national capital campaign for WBAI, we would have to be telling people that they were contributing to facilities for WBAI. We can't just take, I don't think, reserves at one station and use them for another station, but we could.
Sure, but we can offer loan stations money to get into a position where they're able to pay back the loan from network level reserves.
That's true, and in fact we did that in the mid-90s. The network used reserves from from stations that had it and lent the money to both WPFW and WBAI as loans when they moved into Wall Street and into their current facilities. If you look back over the audits over the last 10 years, you'll see the years that those loans hit.
LaVarn?
They have not yet been paid back in some instances.
Interesting. Now, I was just going to say that you guys had talked about a transition team for the new general manager, and I was just going to throw in that, the whole issue of your where you're located, maybe, I don't know, throw that in as part of the transition. In addition to National and BNB and the Finance Committee, but as part of the transition team goals or whatever, too. Because if you're not only are you looking for a general manager, you would look for a place that is more reasonable in terms of cost.
Yeah. Lonnie, on this point of the looking for a place more reasonable, one of the things I'm wondering is, with all hands on deck at the station dealing with their existing budget crunch, where in the network, is the person who can spend time looking at what it would take to get them into a better situation, better facilities? Do we have, it seems to me that in terms of pre-planning, that's not something you do all at once. Who, onto whom would that fall, and is there any action in that direction?
In the absence of when there was a development director at WBAI, Don was working with that development director and some board people who were helping to identify real estate, and they went through the whole process, and several sites were identified. But the issue, the development director didn't work out, and in the process of examining the possibilities, it looked like a minimum of 100, probably 200,000, would be needed to make the move. And where would those funds come from? So folks started to look at major donors. But I think that, it's Don's leaving. There is no development director. So it may be, I believe we need to look at it as a national priority see how we can take one of our important assets and put it on a stable financial footing.
Because if we can't make the investment even to get them into a better cost structure, then I just have this sense of a spiral, You get caught in that vortex and you struggle and struggle and struggle, but without really being able to make any kind of you know, big structural change because you're constantly spending all your energy just to make today's rent.
Right.
So, anyhow, the question came whether there should be a bullet point in this report or not, and I'm curious what the rest of the committee thinks on that.
I also would like to include the prospects of WPFW moving also, that a study be done.
Maybe we could say a note in parentheses, WPFW may also want to look at this. In fact, if we had a committee that was looking at those things, then maybe it might address that as well.
Yeah, we did make a stab at an asset committee, which was to look at our assets and see what's a way to manage them toward more efficient. Also, these are the core services. If we get a transmitter that goes down and don't have a building, whatever, these are absolutely core, critical needs of the network that you're going to pay for if something terrible.
One way or another.
One way or another. So I do think we need to at least make the recommendation that preliminary information be gathered on what those crucial needs are.
Is there any objection to including this as a bullet point on the list with
no.
the other five?
No. No, okay, but this is LaVarne, just to make the point again that, you know, I mean, I can see the national emphasis in really having to do it, but also, you know, it seems like it's a lot more local, and that maybe, again, that in this transition team that you have for BAI, maybe there's somewhere there's room to include or to look at that or to put that on the table, too, that you're looking at moving because that's all part of your emphasis in terms of where you're going. I mean, you know, there should still be some plan or something for the station, regardless
yeah.
of who is general manager.
Yeah, point well taken.
So is there anything else? Because if not, then what I'd like to do is just know when, Lonnie, we can expect to get the November financials and when we ought meet again.
I'd like to sort of do it all in 2 weeks, November financials, and then we maybe have some information on additional information on WBAI. And the audit draft is ready about the January 15th. Seems like a logical time to do it.
Okay, the meeting, the national board meeting in L.A. is the 17th? Is that when it starts?
No, the 13th.
The 13th. Okay, well, so it doesn't sound like, the 13th is a Thursday, correct?
The training, everybody shows up in L.A. on the 13th, 2 days of training, Thursday and Friday.
I would like very much for us to meet on Tuesday the 11th just to go over that stuff so that we could make a brief report to the national board. Would that be all right with people?
Telephone call?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not in L.A.
On Tuesday?
On Tuesday. And the purpose of that, the main focus of that meeting will be assembling our report with whatever recommendations we need to make to the board.
So moved. Second.
Is there any objection? Okay, so let's schedule that meeting for the same time, Tuesday the 11th. Lonnie, you'll draft the bullet point note. We'll go over it on the list, and I'll transmit it as soon as we have everybody's agreement to the board so they have that. And is there a motion to adjourn?
I'm moved.
Okay. Any objection? Okay, so we'll see you all in 2 weeks. Have
yeah.
a good New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Donna, you'll send me the notes?